Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnywell here, flying solo. Julie is with our son on a doctor's appointment after a four-day camping trip. But we have a great show for you. We got Dave Williams, one of the leading lights in El Paso County, and Peg Cage a little later on at 3:30. In fact, if Doug or Don, could you call Dave Williams now and try to get him on the line? One of the amazing things that I saw that 11th Circuit shot down the special master idea, said that we have to trust the FBI and the State Department on anything they considered classified, which is ridiculous. Somebody has to watch the watchers. We were already told for the Nunes members, oh, there's national security, sources and methods will be compromised. Spies next to Putin will be exposed. All of it was BS. And for a court to say you had to depend upon the Justice Department when they proved themselves to be feckless and lying is really, really awful. It is really, really awful. They have no capacity. Who watched the watchers? And the answer is no one. And they will file anything to say, oh, our national security will be compromised. Well, they compromised their national security on our border and with China and with Ukraine almost every day. And now they tell us, oh, no, we can't let you see the Russiagate documents. They are too hush-hush, which is ridiculous, totally ridiculous. Are we trying to get Dave Williams? We could indicate yes or no. I don't see it, but hopefully we'll get Dave here. Let's see. Nope. Got his answering machine. Oh, of course we got his answering machine. Well, keep on trying. I'll try myself in a little bit to make sure we get a hold of him. So what we wanted to talk about today was the state of the Republican Party, both nationally and he's with us.
Yes,
is he with us? Hey, Dave, you there?
I'm here. Sorry.
That's all right. This is Dave Williams, ran for Congress this last time in the 5th. One of the leading Republican lights in El Paso County and represented El Paso County for various terms. And some of the brightest minds I know in the Republican Party. And I want to talk a little bit. We're in now later September. The ballots go out in a couple weeks. How's everything looking for the Republican Party in Colorado today?
Well, you know, one thing that I would say about the history of the Republican Party is that we're kind of used to losing, and I don't think we're going to break that trend.
Oh, good. Well, we want to be traditional. Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, you go with what you know, and I think that's what the party's doing. They haven't won in a long time, and I don't think they know how to win. Ultimately, you know, things can change. I mean, that's sort of a disclaimer I'll put out there, that, you know, a month is an eternity in politics, and, you know, you never know what could happen.
Right.
With that said, you know, it's highly unlikely that, you know, the trend is going to change. The trajectory of this election cycle is not going to favor, you know, Colorado Republicans. I think our best shot at seeing some pickups and victories are going to be in the state legislature. But, you know, there's probably not a good chance of us picking up a majority in either chamber. Our best bet would be the state Senate. with respect to the state legislature, but that's a pretty tall order, especially with Kevin Priola switching parties and, you know, making it all but certain that Democrats retain their majority should Republicans have a good night, which, again, I don't suspect they will. And the poll numbers that we're kind of seeing from various outlets are kind of, you know, showing us that. Now, far be it from me to say that, you know, polls are the end all or be all, but, you know, when you look at campaigns, when you look at the election cycle, you kind of got to look at a variety of things. And, you know, polls are a part of that, you know, calculus. The other part of it is, you know, how the campaigns are operating, you know, how, what they're doing to put themselves in a good position come, you know, election day. In this case in Colorado, since we have, you know, universal mail-in ballots, it's not an election day. It's, you know, 3 weeks of an election where people have ballots in hand. And so that also, you know, is something to factor in as well. But if you look at the fundraising numbers, Democrats are out fundraising us, you know, save a few exceptions for down ballot candidates. And that, and I mean, I really mean down ballot, by the way. we're all getting trounced on the fundraising numbers statewide candidates. But with respect to, you know, some of the state legislative candidates, there's a few of them that have out fundraised their opponents, but not much. And then you kind of look at, you know, the earned media and see what's going on there. The media is, you know, more or less in favor of our opponents, the Democrats, and they always try to give them a leg up. Every now and then you'll see Kyle Clark and people like him kind of put out, you know, one sort of negative piece, but that's really out of obligation, and they do that for cover themselves. So when you complain about the media, they can always point back to something saying, oh yeah, we, you know, we picked on Democrats. Which, you know, okay, 1 out of 100, I guess, but, you know, most of the time it's beating up on our side.
Well, it seems
so. I say that because a lot of the voting population, they're going to see nothing but good, good news reports about Democrats because they're the ones in power and the media loves them. And then, well, and then you kind of look at the messaging, and I think this is important. The Republicans really don't have a cohesive, you know, message. They attempted to do that, you know, through the commitment of Colorado, which, you know, I'll give an A for effort, but.
Well, I guess I've never been sure that's an A for effort. I mean, it's three bland, innocuous affordability. I don't even remember what the other two are.
I think it was crime ways, education, and then education. Of course, you know, inflation. The reason I'll give an A for effort is because I don't think the Republican Party had ever attempted anything, you know, like that, at least not that I can remember. And, you know, they tried to put something together, but the problem is, you know, one, it's kind of, as you put it, it's innocuous. It's, you know, not really awe inspiring. It's certainly, you know, inflation and the rising cost of living here. That's all important, but that's not enough.
Right.
And then of course the discipline on the part of the candidates to actually stick to those messages is important. You know, what the one thing that I think just drives me insane about all this is that the establishment, you know, they got everything they wanted.
Well, go over that again. I mean, this last time in the assembly process, and I was down in Colorado Springs, I think with you and others, it was the greatest day for grassroots I can remember. They won everything at the state assembly, and they won a lot at the county assemblies and all across the board. And then they all got defeated, virtually all got defeated in the, where they brought in the people petitioned on, in which the candidates, the independents could vote, and they just overwhelmed all the grassroots Republicans by enormous. How much money was spent for your replacement?
Oh, for my replacement, well, none, because I managed to have my replacement, who I endorsed, to avoid, you know, the ire of the establishment. But there are a lot of other candidates who didn't fare so well. I mean, in Douglas County, for example, you had, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars spent over a few races, and that's just Douglas County.
Right.
Doesn't account for some of the other things. And this is what the establishment does all the time. They they get a lot of money because they have access to it, and they blow their wad, you know, in the primaries defeating conservatives, because God forbid a conservative, you know, gets the nomination.
Right.
And then they don't have any more money to actually get their candidates across the finish line in the general. And it's this weird thing where the establishment would rather have Democrats, you know, win the general election than let, you know, a conservative win the primary and then go on to victory in November. It's mind-boggling to me. But in any event, they got exactly what they wanted. You were there. We were all there. Dick Wadhams of the world, the establishment of the world, they said, oh, we have a unique opportunity. You know, this is going to be a wave Republican year. We can't risk it on people like Ron Hanks or any of the other conservative grassroots Republicans. We're just going to lose if we do that.
And moreover, Dick Wadhams said on this program, he won't support any grassroots Republicans. He would just vote right. for a third party or something. So,
and people should remember that, you know, when it comes to, you know, Dick Wadhams giving any advice that helps the Republican Party. But my point in all this is they got exactly what they wanted. They wanted an open primary. He tried to close the primary. They wanted it open. They won, right? They tricked the voters into supporting these moderate candidates that are not, you know, they're not inspiring, and they're the nominees. Okay, fine. And they were so obsessed about the commitment to Colorado or whatever other messaging strategy they had, and they, you know, tricked us into thinking they'd be disciplined enough to do that and attract, you know, swing voters. And everything they've, you know, promised they do, everything that they wanted is all coming apart. They got exactly what they wanted, and now they're about, you know, to lose an election in which we should be winning more. This is a national referendum on Joe Biden. It should be a wave Republican year. But here in Colorado, we're definitely not going to catch that wave because the establishment is so inept, you know, when it comes to doing this stuff. We have a candidate, Joe Day, great example. This is a guy who, I don't know if you remember this, I remember it. He said that he would travel the state chasing Michael Bennett down and making him lose sleep at night over the cost of inflation and the cost of gas prices.
Right.
Instead, I hear Joe O'Day talking about how he's going to codify Roe versus Wade, how he's going to support the LGBTQ agenda and same-sex marriage, how he's going to give citizenship to Dreamers, and all sorts of other, you know, radical things that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and those guys vote for. That's not message discipline. That none of that has to do with the commitment of Colorado, unless I'm mistaken. I don't know if Chrissy Burton Brown or the Republican Party changed the commitment of Colorado between, you know, the primary and now, but I don't remember any of those things being there. So there you go, right? The Democrats want Joe O'Day to talk about those issues. And they don't want to talk about inflation, and he's playing right into their hand.
I'm wrong, but, you know, 4 years ago, I remember Walker Stapleton, who was not the most dynamic of candidates, but there seemed to be a lot more buzz then than this election. This election just seems to be dead in the water, and maybe that's because of the gradual disappearance of the Denver Post, the kind of, you know, rhinoization of 710. I mean, 710, you know, other than late Saturday and late Sunday when you get Randy and Backbone Radio, all the rest of it are rhino. Jimmy Sangerberger, Peter Boyles, George Brockler, Stephen Tubbs are the most innocuous, bland rhino talkers. And so it's hard to get any excitement going.
No, I mean, the candidates have a big role to play in that, but I'm sorry, none of these candidates are terribly exciting.
Right.
Say what you will about Ron Hanks, but if he was the nominee, it certainly wouldn't be boring.
Right, right.
I think the reason why it's boring right now, you know, Chuck, is because everyone kind of already knows the outcome.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, do we really want to sit through another Harlem Globetrotter game versus the General Washington Generals?
Generals?
I mean, we already know what's going to happen, right? And I say that, you know, with disappointment because I don't want the Republican Party to be in shambles. I want us to win. I mean, the Democrat, I've seen it. I've seen it on the front lines. The Democrats are destroying the state.
Right.
And the only people who can theoretically have the ability to stand up to them is the opposition party. But when the opposition party ceases to be the opposition, there's really no reason for the voters to do anything about it. The Republican establishment actually doesn't care about winning. They, for whatever reason, they love to nominate, you know, people who give the best concession speeches.
Excellent. I thought Walker's concession speech was one of the best I've ever heard. Beautiful. Just beautiful.
It's fascinating to me. I mean, the truth is, you know, it's right. It's obvious to people. We're getting out fundraised. We're out organized. And let me tell you something. The Democrats haven't even begun to really close this deal, right? I mean, we haven't even spoken about the ballot harvesting.
Right.
I mean, this is that. I mean, that's really the final, you know, nail in the coffin, so to speak. But if you look at the fundraising numbers, you look at the polling, it's been pretty consistent, you know, despite, you know, which side is polling, right? It could be the Democrat side, it could be the Republican side. The public stuff, mind you. I mean, I don't know if there's private polling out there because I haven't seen it, but the public information that's been out there kind of is painting the picture that, yeah, Michael Bennett's going to be reelected, that Jared Polis is going to be reelected. And sure, you know, Michael Bennett may not break 50%, but who the hell cares? Because we don't have a runoff system here.
Right.
We have a plurality system. And at the end of the day, whoever has the most votes wins.
Leo asks, how do we start fixing the Republican Party? That's always a tough question.
We have to stop listening to the establishment. Those guys, they have to be put aside for at least one election cycle and allow the grassroots Republicans to, you know, start calling the shots, because we've been doing it their way most of the time. And I know the establishment loves to talk about 2010. Okay, fine. You got one time, right, where the gubernatorial candidate really screwed up and then Tom Tancredo had to come in. Fine. Let's compare that to the 100 other times you guys have foisted, you know, a bad candidate on us and a bad strategy.
Right.
And we've lost. It's time for us to take over the reins. And the first thing we can do is actually close the primary. Now, you can do it through the opt-out or you can do it through litigation. I think it's absolutely outrageous that the state party, you know, would not join in on that lawsuit. That's the only reason why we couldn't, you know, move forward on this, because they didn't join in on it. And that's what the state central committee wanted.
Right.
But here we go again. The state party, the establishment, and you do have to lay it at the feet of Christy Burton Brown. The state central committee wanted to sue over this matter because it's a legitimate matter. Anytime there's an open primary, Republicans lose. So
I think we've talked about this before, but you're going to have to get a chairman that is willing to support opting out or joining the lawsuit or something to close the primary. It seems to me, after this election debacle and how bad it'll be, it's certainly not going to be good. And quite frankly, the grassroots at least twice have elected people who they thought would be on their side, Steve House and Christy Burton Brown. And they stole the election to get Ken Buck in there. It's just, you know. But we do have to get a chairman. And the one I'm encouraged by is Wyoming. Wyoming had an establishment. They controlled the legislature just like they do here. And they got Frank Ethorn, whether by luck or talent or skill, they got a grassroots one who was able to conquer the Liz Cheney portion of the Wyoming one. And so we've got to find somebody who'll fight for us and not just say, gee, what does Phil want?
Well, that's the first step, right? We got to find a good, you know, candidate who's going to be able to take the reins after we suffer these losses in November and start, you know, making a difference. So that's only a component of it. We need to start recruiting, you know, good quality candidates, you know, for our side. And we have to start realizing that these Republican establishment, you know, insiders from the past, they're not going to save Colorado. They're only in for it themselves. let's talk about Wayne Williams for a second. This guy wants to run for mayor in Colorado Springs.
Mm.
I'm serious, you know, and I say this with all due respect to Wayne. I think he's actually a likable and a nice guy. But at the end of the day, does anyone think that Wayne Williams is going to save Colorado Republicans or even Colorado?
For Jenna Griswold, maybe. I mean, nobody was played for a bigger fool.
Jenna Griswold, for sure. For sure. But I think that's something that we have to ask ourselves. Whenever we see these guys who have been around for decades, we have to ask ourselves, are they in this for me or are they in this for themselves? And I guarantee you that all Wayne wanted to do was to reach higher office. And whatever higher office he can get to, he's going to do that. And he'll do it at the expense of Coloradans. And, you know, that's politics, though. And we have to start realizing that these guys are not saints. They are not our saviors. We need to hold them accountable just as much as we would hold Democrats accountable. And we don't do that in the Republican Party, and it frustrates me to no end because I've worked with some of these bastards in the Capitol, and they will betray the Republican Party platform and its principles if it meant that they could get more success. And we have to start holding these guys more accountable. We have to start vetting them, and we have to start asking them tough questions. If we don't do that, we're never going to win.
Well, the problem is that they have so much money on your side. You brought up Douglas County, where all of a sudden they poured all the money to get the rhino-esque elected. Same happened in Weld County. That was Catherine Murdoch. They poured an inordinate amount of money into Weld County to get, you know, the most tepid of Republicans. So it's I imagine unless you close the primaries, you know, the Republican Party has no chance, of ever being an opposition party.
We definitely have to start looking at this in terms of rebuilding the team. I think, you know, long-term, we have to focus more on getting good candidates elected in the safe seats so that those people go on to start highlighting the misdeeds of the Democrats. Mm-hmm. That's the other problem. You get Republicans elected who are not grounded in the principles of our party or have any conviction. And they go along with Democrats. They don't expose the Democrats for the misdeeds that they're doing. They go along with it. And so the voters never really know what's going on. And unfortunately, I think it's just human nature. People, you know, they really won't see what's going on until it's painfully obvious. And some of that's happening now, of course, with inflation, with the crime wave we're seeing. But it's kind of too little too late. And that's because people 5, 10, 15 years prior didn't do anything. All they did was they did the Wayne Williams thing of, well, how can I get the next office that's higher? And that's it. And it pains me. It pains me to see that short-sightedness, selfishness that has grasped our Republican Party. If we're ever going to win, we need people who are going to sacrifice, you know, for a cause greater than themselves and not worry about the cost of it.
Well, we were constantly told, I remember people telling me, and I'm sure it's the same for you, that, you know, Kevin Priola is the savior of the Republican Party. That's the kind of Republican Party we need.
Yeah, right. I think it's unfortunate because, you know, that kind of treachery is, you know, you don't want that. But it's also, it's good that the establishment, you know, gets to have that black mark. I know for years they'd say Kevin Priola is the kind of Republican we need to run everywhere.
Right.
Well, I guess no one's saying that anymore. And now they're on a Don Quixote-esque, you know, recall mission. You know, best of luck, I guess.
Well, maybe they will get him recalled, but they certainly, they had George Brockler and Michael Fields from Americans for Prosperity. We're right on that, so they must have established money for that. But it all comes down to
money, man. I mean, if you really think money and power, the reason we have these problems is because the people at top, the people who can make these decisions and get resources allocated to folks, they're fundamentally, they don't care. They don't care about you or your neighbors. They don't care about Colorado. They care about having their own title. They care about having their own, you know, nest, you know, feathered. So we got to get rid of those folks. That's the only way. I mean, that's ultimately the solution. So if the grassroots wants to do something different, They need to get off Facebook. They need to stop engaging in, you know, keyboard, you know, warfare, and start organizing, you know, first to take over the party, and then second to start winning these elections. If we don't organize, we're dead.
Well, I think taking over the party is step one. And it's key to getting anything done, taking over the party. I'm not sure we can. I mean, I spent an entire summer going all across the state for closing the primary, and I met some great people, a lot of great people, but I also met a lot of discouraged people. They're just kind of going, yeah, we'll never win. there's the front range controls, and you know, the only thing to do is move to Wyoming or something.
Not a bad attitude given the lies and the bill of goods we've been sold. I mean, I'd be pissed. Everyone who's discouraged needs to start getting mad at the Republican establishment who has lied to them for years. You know, don't elect, you know, the Ron Hanks of the world. Elect, you know, people who have no conviction and no principle. Right. That's why we're losing, is because we're giving up on the principles that made the Republican Party what it is. I mean, I don't know how else to tell people that the Republican Party, you know, the foundation of it's wonderful. You know, I mean, there's a reason it became a national, you know, party to be reckoned with, and now the people who inherited it have squandered, you know, its good name and have ruined its brand. They should be pissed, and they should be out for political retribution.
Well, no, you know, so you're gonna have a whole slew of candidates, all of whom lose. God knows if somebody down ballot wins the treasurer race, or I don't think we'll win the Secretary of State race, maybe AG is, you know, so then that will be the new savior of the Republican Party to be put up next time for his slaughtering.
Yeah. For, again, the establishment, they don't actually, they love to get their people nominated, but they don't actually want to win the office. So, you know, I don't know why, other than they're just corrupt. Or, you know, something that we're not seeing, but
I think it's been, you know, surmised that Phil made a deal with Jared Polis, and they're both happy, therefore our poor candidate was left bereft. I mean, luckily she found a good oil man from Weld County to support her campaign and put a lot of money into it, quite frankly, for a Republican, but it's sort of amazing just to watch the Republican Party, you know, all the money, all the effort, all the time that was spent to defeat the assembly candidates, and then after they got all their candidates in, it's just blah. I mean, is there any? The one thing I will say is there obviously outside money coming into CD8 for Barbara Kirchmeyer. Because all I ever see are negative ads on, I'm not sure how you pronounce her name, but Yudita Carvalho, and you know what an awful human being she is, and she does seem to be an awful human being, and so obviously so maybe that'll be the one victory, the 8th congressional district, and Bob Kirchmeyer will be, you know, a bland middle of the road Republican who will inspire no one. But
if Barb wins, you know, that seat, you know, she's only going to be there for one, maybe two terms. I mean, I mean, talk about being short-sighted, you know, Republicans are obligated to, you know, go and fight for it. But that, I mean, that's the only example I can think of where national money is really coming in to try and win it. And because this time, it's a competitive race, truly competitive race. It could go either way, depending on,
right,
on what's going on. But at the end of the day, you know, Barb, you know, I served with her in the state capitol. I mean, do I really think Barb Kirchmeyer is going to go save, you know, America by being elected to Congress? I'm not going to have my hopes up. Certainly not going to hold my breath.
And the 7th, I kind of feel sorry for Odlin. I mean, he's been left out.
Eric is genuinely, he's genuinely a nice guy. He's just, he's in a, that seat, you know, if the stars were aligned, he could probably win it.
Right.
It's just Brittany Patterson. She's gonna have all the resources she needs to hold on to that seat in a seat that's not necessarily competitive. I mean, let's keep that in mind. It's still, you know, it's not like the eighth.
Right.
Democrats have a clear advantage, you know,
but not a massive one. I mean, under the predecessor, he had a 10-15 point Democratic advantage, now down to 5-7, but that's still significant. But
I mean, my advice for Eric, because I think he's a genuine, you know, rock solid individual,
mm-hmm.
is to, you know, if it doesn't work out this go around, you know, stick around, because we don't have a bench. We really don't have a good bench in Colorado, thanks to the establishment. They run these people who end up losing, and then they go away, and then we're, you know, the grassroots is left, you know, holding all the pieces.
Right.
So Eric, you know, if he wins, God bless him, you know, but if he loses, stick around and, you know, look for other opportunities to help out the conservative grassroots Republicans.
Right, right. Well, as you've indicated, what we got to do is try to take the, after this election, take over the party and from there get great candidates. But it's for the middle of an election season coming to the end, the excitement level is not what you'd hope for. But I guess miracles could happen. So I want to really thank Dave for coming on and giving us the lowdown. Our next guest will speak to trying to take over the Republican Party too. So Dave, thanks very much.
You bet. Take care.
All right. Now we've got Peg Cage. Peg, are you out there somewhere in the land? There, we the people. All right. All right.
Somewhere. Hey, look what I did. I forgot I did that.
Yeah, cool. That's great. Whoa.
Government of the people, not U.S.
So, Peg, you've been trying to work at a very, very grassroots level for election integrity and for trying to get the posts of so when we have the next leadership fight, if we find a good candidate, there'd be one to support. Tell us about what you've been up to.
Well, we've been at that for a while now, Chuck, and it's just doing what the Republican Party bylaws and the Constitution of Colorado is just doing what they're set up to do, and that's having those local meetings, those caucuses, and every meeting, and electing people to represent that district area. And you can't do it anymore since we've missed the caucuses. I have to tell you, though, that was one of the things that I put down. I put my notes for this call, Chuck, on My Colorado GOP, or you can go to governmentofthepeople.us and get there, too. But I just went ahead and put it on the front page so that I would remember what I really wanted to talk about. And this project to get people into positions, it's very important, and it is at projects, it's down here somewhere. So it's linked in the projects at the caucuses, of course, at the caucuses. So anyway, that's not what I want to talk about. I want to give you hope, because when you were talking to me this morning, you said, what are we going to tell people going into this election? And I would like to tell them that I would like to remind them that after you and I and that team went around and we told everybody about opting out of the primary elections, we went to the state central committee meeting and we got a unanimous vote to have a lawsuit to opt out. I mean, to prove that that's unconstitutional,
right,
to
right.
open up a private organization to other people.
Right.
So we had that lawsuit. KVB stopped that lawsuit, but that was...
Well, she stopped it by not joining in. I mean, the judge went on to kind of, but she, you know, they said, yep. Well, if you unanimously Central Committee, why isn't the chairman at least filing a brief in favor of it?
That's right.
And of course, there was no brief and there was nothing, even though, she was directed to do it, but she...
That's right. So I have that, the judge's, what do you call him, Chuck? You're my lawyer friend.
Opinion?
The judge's, huh?
Opinion?
His, yeah, why he decided not to give us the injunction.
Right.
That's on my Colorado GOP, and it's in the latest featured articles under KBB's inaction allowed UAFs to vote in the 2022 primary. So it's there. I took those pages out of those decisions and highlighted it. So I would like to tell you that there is good news. And this Maurice Emmerer reminded me this morning that when we were at the state assembly, we passed a resolution. And this resolution, it's a little long, but it has everything in it that we wanted. I'm just going to read it really quick. Whereas over the last 6 election cycles, the people of Colorado on both sides of the aisle continue to mistrust the accuracy of election results. And whereas elections exist to give these same people a Republican government that they choose through democratic means that can be held accountable at the ballot box. And whereas illegally cast votes directly cancel out legally cast votes, be it resolved that the Colorado Republican Party supports each eligible voter actively registering to vote, ending automatic voter registration, and insist on the cleaning of voter rolls, county voter rolls, so that only qualified voters receive ballots, who then are required to show a state-issued ID when voting in person. This is the halfway point. This is cool. The Colorado Republican Party also supports locally controlled elections following the rule of law with verifiable counts and processes, rejects Secretary of State administrative rules used inconsistently in opposition to state law and changed in the midst of an election, opposes the use of private funds, Pam Anderson, to assist in the administration of elections, calls for the development of a plan to hold elections during emergencies and requests forensic audits of election machines and the maintaining of backup images of each hard drive in the voting and external hard drive kept safe for the statutory 25 months, almost there, or until the completion of all audits. Voting shall be in person on election day at the precinct voting center with voter ID. Mail-in ballots shall be permitted only for active duty military and registered voters who request a mail-in ballot because they are physically unable to vote in person. Ballots should be counted by hand by election judges in each precinct. That's exactly what we wanted. We passed that at the assembly this spring, and we have had lawsuits that would have made every single one of those things happen. Right now, there's tons of lawsuits. If our Colorado GOP would have gotten on board with any of those lawsuits, they would have helped us to get to where we wanted to go this spring. Now we're right up against the election. We have illegitimately elected primary candidates, and we're going into an election with all of these other things. And I am going to tell you what you need to do. Get yourself on an election board. Get yourself to be a canvas board member or an audit board member or an election judge or anything. And then when they put that paper in front of you to say, sign here to certify this election or this test, you refuse to sign. And you tell them, I can't sign this. This is illegitimate. It's all illegitimate. And then let them deal with it.
Well, that's a good strategy. I don't know how many people you have in place that have been elected, but it's not an easy process.
It's not an easy process. And you know that I've done this for the last 5 or 6 years. In 2020, we actually had 4 counties in Colorado. Their Republican members on their canvas board refused to certify their election. And if the party in 2020 had taken that opportunity to read those minority reports and go out and fix those problems, we wouldn't be where we're at. So sometimes somebody needs to stop and say, no, just no.
Well, we're going to have to first take it, because I'm sure we passed a resolution. I'm sure Kirsty Burton Brown did not do one thing for all 25 elements or whatever that are in that resolution.
Right.
But let's talk about, how this election is going to go, how it's going to go. It doesn't look good. The polls don't look good. There's little money. I've got one here from Red Majority Colorado said that Democrat candidates have raised $17-18 million, Republicans $7 million, which is amazing considering that the major.
It is amazing.
Yeah. The major candidates are all Rhino candidates who wanted to be supported by the establishment. The establishment has all the money, but they decide not to put in, and then they keep on asking us for that. I got a request from Walker Stapleton to give money to Pam Anderson. I'm kind of going, oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I can't.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I can't wait to do that. Just let me know where to transfer some funds.
yes.
So at this point, I think a lot of people are looking forward to post-election and getting elected to the state central committee or getting elected to the election for the party chair, because that's going to be all important.
Right. Well, they can start moving on that now, Chuck.
Yeah,
with the precinct strategy and just – this work that we're trying to help people with is to get into place. Every single county has a vacancy committee ability to put precinct committee people into place.
Right.
So if you're not involved in your county party and you think you can make a difference by getting involved, I think you could make a difference by getting involved. You have to find somebody in your county party to talk to about becoming a precinct committee member there. And all of the party chairmen are listed at the Colorado GOP website, which is cologop.org. And just click on party chairs and it runs down. Call your party chair, ask them how you become a voting member, of how you become a PCP. You don't want to give away that you want to be a voting member and vote them out of office, but that's the goal.
That's the goal. That's the goal. And so those elections will take place in the spring.
The vacancy committees can happen at the executive committee meetings or Chuck,
right,
wherever.
Right.
Yeah. And so they can get in place as a PCP right now, but you're right. This coming up spring, we've got the organizational meetings for every county and every district, and then the state.
The state. What?
The state. And we need to get somebody who isn't a member of the good old boys club, good old boys party, to join and take over. I mean, like we did with Susan Beckman, who would have gone in and cleaned it out, but we know how well that
worked. She got cheated out of it.
Absolutely. We got cheated out of having her. And I think that we went in there thinking that, I think we went into the assembly knowing that we would get the win, but not with a plan for what to do when they cheated. And I think that's where we know now they will cheat. We have to have a plan for what happens when they cheat. And we have to have enough people who are strong and willing to stand up at the meeting and say, no, you need to stop.
Yeah, well, we'll have to get it outside of the margin of error so they can't cheat enough to,
absolutely,
to do it. I mean, you know, Ken is, you know, what was thought to be one of the good guys and proved himself to be a Liz Cheney Republican. And that's what we constantly get. KBB beat Scott Gessler. Scott Gessler had all the good old boys supporting him, had all the people from the legislature who were rhinos supporting him, and he lost. But what did we win? We won nothing. She's been just as bad or probably worse than Scott Gessler ever would have been. So we've got to get candidate who is not going to sell us out.
Right.
It's got to be a strong one that everybody knows. I mean, nobody really knew KBB. She'd been vice chair,
She didn't do much as a vice chair, so we didn't get to know her. And she'd never been a county party chairman or a businessman who knows how to run an organization. And I think that's what we need, is somebody who can run a large organization. If you think about it, the Colorado GOP is supposed to be the largest organization in the state, because we have the principles of the Constitution and our God-given rights are all supported through the Republican Party. That is supposed to be the biggest organization in the whole state.
Well, the Democrats figured out how to fix that by making sure that the parties were very limited amount of money. Had somebody in there, of course she hasn't fought that either. There's no, you know, she promised she was going to get a litigation team together to fight those campaign limitations. She never did, never has. So I think November is going to be disastrous enough that maybe there'll be enough people to, I mean, we've got the candidate here, Vanessa DeMont, you know, has gotten people begging people to walk with her. Well, they don't want to walk there because she doesn't represent the grassroots. So, you know, and they don't have money to pay for just, you know, paid walkers and stuff. So it's really an amazing process, but you're not giving up. It's great. I mean, you're fighting away.
You know, yeah, what they say, and it gives me hope, and I have no idea what it looks like because we've never been here before, but they say fraud vitiates everything. Right. And we have proven fraud. We have proven fraud for many years, and we have not certified elections. Boulder County stopped certifying elections in 2012 when we had the majority of mail ballots because you couldn't verify who was voting.
Right. Well, it's you know, I really admire your fighting spirit, and you don't give up, and you keep on keeponing, which is great.
Thanks, maybe, Chuck. Well, we know the results. If we don't start taking back this country one person at a time, standing where they're at and doing what they can to take back this country, we've lost it. I mean, our apathy has put us where we're at.
Right. All right. Well, thanks for so much for coming on. Appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you,
Cage,
Chuck.
From Boulder, we, the government of the people. You can also
Wait a minute. governmentofthepeople.us.
.us.
Right. Or my Colorado GOP.
They haven't stopped you from that, huh?
That's right. No, I've got a link to the cease and desist letter in my little notes.
You did get a cease and desist letter.
Oh,
a formal one?
Well, it was a cease
you haven't
and
bought
desist
a lawsuit, but yeah.
A letter, but not an order. Yeah, they backed off as soon as our lawyer said, what are you talking about here?
Great. Great to see you.
Chuck.
Take care.
You too, sir. Bye.
All right. That'll be it for this Friday. Julie will be joining us again on Monday. And we'll go back at it. So thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.